From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled The Third Missionary Journey, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 67 and verse 6. God, even our own God. It is strange how little use we make of the spiritual blessings which God gives us. But it is stranger still how little use we make of God Himself. Though He is our own God, we apply ourselves but little to Him, and ask but little of Him. How seldom do we ask counsel at the hands of the Lord? How often do we go about our business without seeking His guidance? In our troubles, how constantly do we strive to bear our burdens ourselves, instead of casting them upon the Lord, that He may sustain us? This is not because we may not, for the Lord seems to say, I am thine, soul, come and make use of me as thou wilt. Thou mayest freely come to my store, and the oftener the more welcome. It is our own fault if we make not free with the riches of our God. Then, since thou hast such a friend, and he invites thee, draw from him daily. Never want while thou hast a God to go to. Never fear or faint while thou hast God to help thee. Go to thy treasure and take whatever thou needest. There is all that thou canst want. Learn the divine skill of making God all things to thee. He can supply thee with all, or better still, He can be to thee instead of all. Let me urge thee, then, to make use of thy God. Make use of Him in prayer. Go to Him often, because He is thy God. Oh, wilt thou fail to use so great a privilege? Fly to Him, tell Him all thy wants. Use Him constantly, by faith, at all times. If some dark providence has beclouded thee, use thy God as a sun. If some strong enemy has beset thee, find in Jehovah a shield, for He is a sun and shield to His people. If thou hast lost thy way in the mazes of life, use Him as a guide, for He will direct thee. Whatever thou art, and wherever thou art, remember God is just what thou wantest, and just where thou wantest, and that He can do all thou wantest.
Before the hills in order stood.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many voices are looking to the government or to social action for the solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with John Edwards. These were times of genuine spiritual revivals. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There's also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. The closing verses of Acts chapter 18 and the opening of chapter 19 show the Apostle Paul persevering in the spread of the gospel as he retraces his path across Asia Minor to strengthen and encourage the churches which he had planted during his earlier journeys. Chapter 19 introduces us to Paul's second visit to Ephesus and to one of the greatest of the New Testament churches. The passage teaches important lessons that should characterize the Church of Christ in every age. First, there is the necessity of being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, without which no work of God can be accomplished. Then we learn of the need for separation from the works of darkness, illustrated by the Ephesian Christians who burned their books of magic and dark arts. Finally, we'll see that Satan incites opposition to the preaching of the gospel, exemplified by the attack of the silversmiths. Yet, in the battle between light and darkness, the light of the gospel will prevail. Now to conclude this message, the third missionary journey. Here is Dr. Cairns.
I said I would say a word about the tongues that were used here. We have no details as to their use. All we know is that they were used, and therefore they must be used according to the pattern of Acts 2. They were foreign languages. They weren't Pentecostal gibberish. Pentecostal in the modern sense. They weren't people babbling they knew not what. They were speaking in foreign languages. In other words, the power of God is for getting the gospel out. That's what it's for. For getting the gospel out. And I come back to this. If this church is interested in getting out the gospel, then God is interested in giving it the power of God. That's all. Quickly, just a word about the next section. The separatist obedience among the Ephesian disciples. I said here we have the faithfulness of the servants of God. There's a principle here. If you look at verse 9, it's the principle of separation. Paul separated the disciples. Isn't it interesting that the World Council of Churches today is doing exactly the opposite to what Paul did? Paul separated the churches from the Jews in their synagogue because they blasphemed Christ. They're still blaspheming Christ, but the apostates are trying to get together. The work of God is never built by integration. It is built by separation. And this church in Ephesus was built on a separatist testimony to the principle of separation. And then verse 9 through 20 gives you the practice of that separation and the fruits that it brings. Verse 9, he disputed. Falsehoods were refuted. The devil's lie thrown back. Verse 10, the gospel was spread. Never listen to the lie that the separatist does not spread the gospel. That you can only spread the gospel by having this lovely unity with every apostate. Separation leads to the spread of the gospel. Verse 11, God's power was manifested. Verse 13 to 16, the devil was divided against himself. And that's always good to see. When you see the devil fighting the devil, that's a good thing. And the power of God can cause confusion among the enemy. The emissaries of the devil, the counterfeits, were unmasked and their work brought to naught. That's the power of God in answer to a separatist stand in prayer. Verse 17, the name of the Lord was magnified. Verse 18 and 19, souls were saved. Now let me just stop there for a minute and show you the four steps that a young Christian should follow. Verse 18 and 19, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. The four steps. First of all, saving faith. They got saved. Second, witnessing. They confessed. Third, working. They showed their deeds. I believe in a person whose work tallies with his witness. I believe in the reality of a man's salvation when his life and his lips go together. There was saving faith, there was witnessing, then there was working, and then, verse 19, there was complete separation. They took the books of their curious arts and they burned them. They made a bonfire of their old carnal practices. complete separation. They burned their bridges behind them. They didn't want to leave one connecting link with the old life. It was all or nothing for Christ, and they gave all to Christ. That's what the Lord's looking for. Souls saved and going the whole way with God. My, it's sickening today to see people say they get saved, but they never get separated. Now, only the Lord knows if they've ever got saved. And I'm not about to try and be the judge of these things. But it's a sickening thing to see people who say they get saved and they're witness to being saved, but they never work like a Christian, and they certainly never burn the bridges behind them. Still tampering with the old mess of the world. Oh, that God would give us this complete separation. And you'll notice the result of it, verse 20, was revival. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What happened? Those who were saved separated. And those separated Christians won other people. And those people in turn got separated. And so the work went on. So mightily grew the Word of God. So mightily grew the church organization. So mightily grew the rhetoric of the preacher. So mightily grew the talents of the believers. No, sir. We don't know what talents they had, if any. They just went out preaching the Word. So mightily grew the Word of God. And it prevailed. The final section shows you the devil's answer, verse 21 through 41. The stirring opposition to the Ephesian disciples. The motives of the opponents, verse 24 and 25. They weren't a bit concerned about truth or decency. They were just thinking about their pocket, their wealth, and their self-interest. The mob used by the opponents whipped up into a frenzy, verse 32, not even knowing why they were there. The management of this opposition, its leaders played on the idolatry of the people, on the ignorance of the people, and they promoted an insurrection among the people. They managed this, they stage managed it very carefully. Now the moral of this opposition, finally, is this. You never saw me skip over 20 verses of Scripture so quickly as that in all your life before, but the moral of the opposition is this. One, there is a battle between light and darkness. Ephesus was the city of the great goddess Diana. The darkness of idolatry and heathenism was there. There was a battle between light and darkness. Now, you can't stand for light without getting into conflict with the darkness. But the light must prevail. Diana is gone, long since buried. But the gospel of God's Christ still prevails. Often, I should say most frequently, those who set out to promote God's glory and men's good will have to face the fury of greedy, grasping men who see the progress of the gospel as a threat to their own self-interest. Now, let me tell you that in America today, there are plenty of modern counterparts to these people in Ephesus who come and who try to stop the gospel because it's hurting their pocket. Demetrius the silversmith was out of pocket. How many Demetriuses have we today? Let me tell you, there are the people I trust when God starts blessing this work in Greenville. There are the people go out of business. One thing I long to see, you see, it strikes me very strange because it wouldn't be allowed in our part of the world. Not that they're one bit better, they probably sell far more of the stuff than you do here. But whenever I go to a gas station, drive past the gas station, I see them, big letters, you buy your iced beer here. It shows you how far men will go to make money. And what hypocrites and liars they and their political masters are. We must keep to 55 miles an hour on the road because it saves lives. So we're told. Statistics, they say, prove anything. Stay to 55 miles an hour and save lives. Let me tell you something. They'd save an awful lot more lives if they stopped selling beer to the boys that were behind the wheels. And I tell you, sober men could drive at 100 miles an hour and never have half the accidents of drunk men at 5 miles an hour. What I want to see a work of God here where every one of those places will have to pull down their beer signs. Can God do that in Greenville? Can God do that in Greenville? You drive out the road and you see things that ought not to be seen in a country that has a heritage like this. One day, just as a matter of interest, we counted between here and a few miles out on the road to Spartanburg. The places that thrive by selling vile, vicious, filthy pornographic literature. That's all they sell. There, they're there. Open to the public. Of course, it's called adult. It's not adult, it's hellish. Can God shut them down? You'll never shut them down by law. But you'll shut them down by the power of God. By the power of God. You've heard the tape of the Lewis Revival. When God moved in that island, 30,000 souls. Tell me, you remember what happened to the drinking houses? Now, the drinking houses are not pubs. There's a pub and then there's a drinking house. Drinking house is just a house where people gather to swill liquor. A private dwelling in the remote parts of the country. Still very popular in Scotland to this day. But those drinking houses became prayer houses. And they're prayer houses to this day. Over 30 years later, that's the power of God. Give us a church like God built in Ephesus. And he'll do the rest. May God give us power. May God visit us with a mighty effusion of the Holy Ghost. May even this Sabbath day be the day when he'll make us to be in earnest with him. And may he give us a breath of revival. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we have asked thee already, feed thy people. Bless thine inheritance. Lift them up forever. Lord, lift us in experience into what we are and have in our standing in Christ. Lord, give us power. Lord, build a church here like the church in Ephesus at its peak. Lord, send us out to see miracles of grace. Smite apostasy. Smite iniquity. Lord, how we would love to see these dens of vice close down. How we would love to see battle engaged with the powers of hell and see every iniquitous and idolatrous force made to yield ground to the Lord Jesus. Oh, send us revival. May it be written over this church and its witness, over this city and this state and across this nation, even in the midst of such gross iniquity and sin, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Hear us now.
We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.